and please be seated. Our gospel lesson is from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, as we continue in our Sunday morning series in the gospel of Luke, and where we find these wonderful words of our loving Lord. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Lord Christ, we welcome you into our hearts afresh. We confess to you that we can be very much like Martha, and perhaps we've come here today because, well, it's the right thing to do. It's Sunday. We're supposed to be here. And we are doing our duty. And yet, Lord, we know that you have something more for us. You have given yourself for us and to us. And so we pray that you would grant us to be like Mary, who sat at your feet and listened to your teaching. We bring our anxieties and troubles to you, and we lay them at your feet. And we take your grace, the cup of your blessing, instead. Grant us your Spirit, even now, to rest in you, and your gracious presence to even sanctify our service for you. To our Father's glory, through Christ we pray. Amen. When we were together last Sunday morning, we heard about Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan and how the Good Samaritan showed loving kindness and welcome to a man in need. After last week's service, a gentleman who was visiting with us for the first time, who had just moved here to America, in fact, said, "You preached on the Good Samaritan, and members of your congregation were the Good Samaritan to me." I thought, I like this arrangement. I preach it, y'all do it. It's a great arrangement. No, I'm just kidding. No, what an encouragement. The Holy Spirit enabling you to show the love of Christ, to show hospitality, to show welcome. Well, in our passage this morning, Luke tells us of some sisters who loved Jesus very much. And they welcomed Jesus. What a guess. They welcomed Jesus into their home. They showed hospitality to Jesus and no doubt his disciples as well. Whenever disciples hear there's food involved, they're going to be there, right? No doubt. She opened her home, did Martha, to Jesus and his disciples, and probably many more. But in the course of showing that hospitality to this honored guest, things got a little tense between the sisters. That kind of thing can happen. When an important guest is present, we want everything to be just right. We want it to be perfect. And so we can maybe lose sight of the ultimate goal of it all. So one sister asked Jesus to address the situation. Jesus' response, of course, was pure gold. Let's consider what transpired and what Jesus had to say under two headings this morning. First, the service Martha rendered. And second, the good portion Mary chose. First, the service Martha rendered. Martha and her sister Mary and their brother Lazarus were good friends of Jesus. In John chapter 11, we are told so, and that they lived in the village of Bethany. The episode recorded here in Luke chapter 10 evidently took place sometime before the events of John chapter 11, which happened very near the Passover, very shortly before Jesus went to Jerusalem to die for our sins there. The events of John chapter 11, of course, when Jesus raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. Here in Luke chapter 10, Jesus had likely sent one or more of his disciples ahead to let his friends know that he was coming to town. And when he arrived, Luke tells us that Martha welcomed him into her house. It is quite possible that Martha was the oldest of the siblings. Don't you kind of get hints of that in these narratives? That seems to fit with the fact that she was the one working while Mary was chilling, right? That kind of dynamic often takes place, not all the time, but it often takes place between the older and younger siblings. We'll hear later on in Luke's gospel the parable of the prodigal son, the one who liked to chill, and the older brother, the one who was always doing his duty, always hard at work. Why is that the case? Well, of course, part of the reason is that parents, well, no, you've got to set the bar high with the first one. They've got to do well, or the whole thing's, you know, going to be awful. So they got to do well. You raise the bar high for the first one. And therefore, often the oldest there, they're the ones who are the worker bees, right? They're the ones who are always seeking to achieve and please the parents and all that. So Martha was working away, and Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. She was listening to his teaching. She was hanging on every word. Sometime later, after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Mary would anoint those very feet with fabulously expensive perfume and wipe Jesus' feet with her hair. This was in preparation, as it were, for his what was coming, his death and burial, Jesus said. But on this day, she just sat at those blessed feet as a devoted disciple, learning all she could from the words that Jesus spoke. Luke tells us that Martha, on the other hand, was distracted with much serving. Distracted with much serving. Now, some of you parents are thinking, I wish my child would be distracted with much serving. Normally they're distracted from much serving. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Literally, Martha was drawn away. That's what the word distracted means. Drawn away with, more literally, much deaconing. She was drawn away with all her deaconing. She was doing the work of a servant. What was she drawn away from? Well, she was drawn away from Jesus. But Martha was annoyed by the fact that her younger sis was chilling with Jesus rather than working to prepare the meal for all the guests. There would have probably been at least 16 people in her home. Martha, Mary, Lazarus, Jesus, and the 12 apostles. Probably many more people too. I mean, Jesus is coming to town. He's coming to our home. We're going to invite more people. So Martha was perturbed. So she went up to Jesus and said in verse 40, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone. Tell her to help me. It sounds like Mary had been helping. It's not that Mary hadn't been helping at all, but that she had been drawn to Jesus to spend time with him, to sit at his feet and listen to his words. So Jesus said to Martha, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but only one thing is necessary." I remember years ago when I was pastoring another church, there was a lady in the church. She was, we actually became quite close, and but she was very highly educated, very successful lady. And from time to time, she would let me know about parts of Scripture that she disagreed with. You know, I disagree with Paul here. He was wrong on this. And she would sometimes say, "Jesus was wrong." And what I eventually understood was that she was actually wrestling with what Jesus had said. There was something about what Jesus had said that was convicting her. This was her way of starting the conversation with me to let me know that she thought Jesus was wrong about this or that situation. Well, this is one of those passages where she thought Jesus was wrong. Jesus was wrong in what he said to Martha. "Service is a good thing," she said, "and somebody, usually a woman, has to do the work." Jesus should have been grateful that Martha was serving him rather than rebuking her for it. Well, I tried to, explain to her, I don't think Jesus was rebuking Martha for serving. Jesus, after all, told his disciples that in order to be the greatest among the disciples, you must become servant of all, deacon of all. And Jesus said, even the Son of Man came into the world not to be served, not to be deaconed, but to serve, to deacon. Very same words used here. And give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus no doubt was grateful and expressed that gratitude. We have many places in Scripture where Jesus expresses gratitude. Jesus was grateful for Martha's service. But here he was lovingly, graciously calling her to examine the nature of her service. Why was she serving? What was the attitude behind her service? And it seems that she was serving in such a way as to lose sight about why she was serving. Namely, to honor Jesus and enjoy him. We say glorify God and enjoy him forever. She was losing sight of the why of her service. It was to honor Jesus and enjoy him and to bless others. Her service had become an end in and of itself rather than the means to those things. So Jesus said, "Martha, you're anxious and troubled," could be translated panicked or agitated about many things. "Martha, you're in a frenzy of busyness. And you don't need to be. You don't need to try to impress me. I already love you. You don't need to try to impress me. You don't need to try to make everything perfect. There is only one thing that is necessary." What was that one thing necessary? That's our second point. The good portion Mary chose. It is a choice, isn't it? Mary chose it. She made a decision. Jesus said, one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary had chosen Jesus himself. The point of it all. The point of all the hospitality. The point of all the preparations. The point of all the service. Mary, even through those things, had chosen Jesus. She had chosen his presence. In whose presence there is fullness of joy. She had chosen his company. And Jesus referred to what she had chosen as the good portion. That was the language of the Old Testament. As Kenneth pointed out earlier in our service, portion in that sense had to do with the allotments of land that the Israelites received when they entered the promised land. Various portions of land that the Israelites received. Each tribe was given a portion of land. But you may remember that the Levites, the priests, who knew God in a special way, served God intimately, that they were not given any land. Why? Numbers 18:20 tells us. God said to the Levites, "You shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any portion among them. I, the Lord your God, am your portion and your inheritance among the people of Israel." And this language of the Lord being the portion of his people became the language of Israel's worship. In Psalm 73 and verse 26, Asaph said, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." In Psalm 142 and verse 5, David said, "I cry to you, O Lord, I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living." And in Lamentations 3:24, Jeremiah said, "The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will hope in him." This good portion, the best portion, is what Mary had chosen, the Lord himself. And here's the other side of this coin. Deuteronomy 32, verse 9 says something amazing. It says, "The Lord's portion is his people." What grace, what love. The Lord's portion, out of all his creation, what is his chosen portion? What is that thing in which he ultimately delights, that he chooses above it all? His people, his children. The Lord's portion that day in Bethany was Mary and Martha and Lazarus. The Lord's portion is you, dear Christian. That is his grace. That is his love. And the good portion you have, your greatest possession, Jesus himself, will never be taken away from you. And you will never be taken away from him. Your close fellowship with him is yours by right. It is yours by right. As a believer in Jesus, you have all the rights and privileges of the children of God. This right, this privilege of fellowship with God was purchased for you through the shed blood and broken body of your Lord. It's yours. He purchased it for you. And he bids you to come and enjoy that fellowship now through the gift of his body and his blood, the good portion which is yours by grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.